Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our lesson today from James 3, we read these words. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. How true those words are. I've been to the circus, and I've seen men tame lions. I've watched on television as cowboys have tamed broken horses. I've been down to San Antonio to SeaWorld and watched as the trainers tamed killer whales. But I've yet to go anywhere and see anyone who has ever tamed their tongue. That's why we have expressions like think before you speak, or open mouth, insert foot, or diarrhea of the mouth. Because folks have the tendency to say things that they shouldn't. Maybe the word diarrhea was one of those things I shouldn't have said. I don't know. I'm sorry. One way or another, at one time or another, all of us have said things or more than we should have. And with the popularity of social media, this problem and its effects are only growing. As people are now saying things through their phone, text messaging and tweeting and such, and also through the internet. A female triple jumper from Greece was banished from her country's Olympic team because she had tweeted comments that were deemed to be right-wing and racist. The Olympic delegation from Switzerland sent home one of the men from their men's soccer team because he had tweeted some insulting and discriminatory comments about the soccer team from South Korea. Mark Cuban, many of you probably know that name, is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks basketball team, tweeted a comment after a basketball game about the officiating, to which the NBA fined him $25,000. People all over the world are getting in trouble every day, losing jobs, destroying friendships, hurting reputations because they can't tame their tongue. They can't keep their mouth shut. And not only is this a problem for personal relationships and the like, this can be a problem for entire nations. Some of you may remember this old World War II propaganda poster. If you're old enough, you might. Which reminded everyone that loose lips might sink ships. These posters were part of a general campaign to advise servicemen in America and the general population of America to avoid careless talk concerning secure information that might assist the enemy in tracking troop movement and ship movement and the like. Such careless use of one's tongue could jeopardize the safety and the security of many American lives. And careless use of one's tongue can also jeopardize the safety and the security of one's salvation. For you see, as a ship is steered by a very small rudder, so also a person is often guided by what he says. The words that we speak set the course for our lives. And when those words are thoughtless and reckless, the results can be devastating, both to ourselves and to other people. That's why Jesus stated that it would be better for a person to be thrown into the depths of a sea where they 2,000-pound stone tied around their neck and be drowned to death than for that person to cause one of God's children to sin. Because you see, temporal death does not even compare to eternal death. And thus, it would be better for us who know Christ as our Savior to be silenced by death, even an awful death, than for us to use our tongue in such a way to drive someone else away from Jesus, drive them away from salvation and into eternal death. Likewise, Jesus said that if your hand or your foot or your eye causes you to sin, cut them off, pluck them out, throw them away. It's better for us to enter into heaven maimed than for us to enter into hell whole. Thus, if your tongue is causing you to sin and leading you away from a life and faith and hope in God, then get rid of it or shut it up. For it's better to enter heaven as a mute than it is to enter hell vocally intact. You see, our lips, our tongues and our mouth, they've been redeemed for a higher purpose. Christ died and rose in order to turn our mourning into singing and our grief into glory. God in Christ has forgiven us of all of our sins, even the sins of our tongues, in order to give us the hope and the promise of a life beyond this one. And thus our tongues have been set apart now as instruments to bring God glory. Listen to Psalm 119. May my lips overflow with praise. May my tongue sing of your word. Psalm 71. I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. Paul reminds us in Philippians 2 that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Luther stated it well in his explanation to the second commandment. He wrote these words: we should fear and love God so that we do not use his name superstitiously or use it to curse, swear, lie, or deceive, but call upon him in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Ladies, not to be sexist here, but this is, my mom did this, so I'm going to assume other ladies do this. How many of you have ever used a toothbrush to clean little parts of around the toilet or maybe the sink or your bathtub or in the grout, you've used that, right? You've done that before. And how many of you then use that toothbrush to once again brush your teeth with? No one, right? I would hope not. You wouldn't do that. And men, how many of you have used an old jar from the kitchen or a container to drain the oil out of your lawnmower? You've done that, right? Most of us have. But you don't then wipe the container out and put it back in the kitchen and use it in the kitchen again. We don't do that. Then how can we carelessly, in one moment, use our tongue to gossip and to curse and to lie or to degrade women, crude jokes, and then in the next moment come into God's house and sing his praises and thank him for all that he's done for us? How can our hearts continue to live as if we are redeemed, but our tongues live as if we were damned? How can we continue to use our tongues in unholy ways when they and we have been purchased by God for higher purposes? We can't. In fact, the Apostle John wrote that no one who lives in Christ can keep on sinning. And yet James wrote that no human being can tame the tongue. And so we're left with this incredible paradox, incredible dilemma. The Bible tells us that no one in Christ can keep using their tongue to sin, and the Bible also states that no one in Christ can tame their tongue. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Thus, the need for God's grace and God's forgiveness. For we are commanded to tame our tongue, but we can't tame our tongue. One way or another, at one time or another, we're going to slip up and we're going to say things that we shouldn't. That is the reality of our sinful condition. In those times, we draw our comfort and our hope from the fact that we are covered over by the forgiveness of Jesus. The forgiveness He won at the cross. For you see, no matter how many times we fail at taming our tongues, we are still and we are always forgiven because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But those times of failure don't have to be the norm in our lives. In Christ, they can become the exception. As we read God's Word, as we receive the sacrament of Christ's body and His blood, God's Holy Spirit helps us learn how to bridle our tongue, even if we cannot completely tame our tongue. And as we then also focus our hearts and our minds on the things of God, the things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, our tongues will naturally speak words that bring glory to God and that edify others. For while the tongue cannot be tamed by any person, it can be redeemed and transformed by God. And such is the case for us because of Jesus. May we thus seek to use our tongues always to speak forth God's blessings and never curses for the sake of Him who died and rose for us, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.